Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Just past 4:30, and he made the headlines this week in the newspaper, and we have him here exclusively, John Edwards, with you now. How's that change of time working for you there?
I'm not sure what time it is right now. I know that I'm probably bedtime somewhere, so that But no, I'm a little tired.
To put things in perspective, John Edwards is a huge Seattle Mariner fan, and God knows what possessed you. He decided to hop on a plane, go to Seattle, watch Game 3 of the series between Toronto and the Mariners. By the way, that was a blowout by the fourth inning. Then he hopped back on a plane and came home.
Well, the pesky job kind of stopped me from staying out for the entire week, but no, I went out for Monday and watched Game 2 at the team's watch party, and then stayed in Seattle for the off day, and then watched Game 3 and had to come right back because, you know, work.
We need some observations from what you saw these past couple of days.
Well, I think the Jays' bats finally came alive, which, I mean, they did in the Yankees series. I mean, that's how they beat the heck out of the Yankees in four games in the division series. So that's happening. And then the last 2 days, the Mariners starting pitching hasn't had it. George Kirby didn't have it in Game 3. Luis Castillo was sort of serving up meatballs as well last night. So one area where the Mariners have been strong and they haven't been. And in the two games in Seattle, they haven't been getting hitting from the top of the order. I mean, you're not going to win many games when you only end up with five hits. So regardless of what your pitching does. So, you know, they've got Game 5 tonight, a chance to take it back to Toronto up 3-2. The Mariners certainly weren't hoping to avoid having to go back to Toronto, but it looks like that's what they're going to have to do.
I'm sure Seattle's a beautiful city in October. Heck, it's a beautiful city all the time. But tell me about the buzz of the Mariners.
Seattle is a good sports town. Baseball sort of really pops up when the Mariners have a chance to go far. I mean, it's sort of all over town. You're seeing people wearing stuff, you know, it's sort of what people are talking about and what, you know, and it's just sort of everywhere that the Fever, especially when I got there and they were, they went up 2-0. Now, certainly, I think everyone was hoping that they would, you know, be in a position to get to the World Series for the first time while they were at home. So I think there's a lot of excitement. Some of that is probably dulled somewhat since they lost the last two. But, you know, the fans there are insane. The stadium is so loud. People in a playoff game, people stand for almost the entire game. Yeah, it's just crazy.
You know, that could have been the Montreal Expos. There was a time where the Mariners had issues. There was no way they were going to get a new ballpark built. By the way, this one is just absolutely awesome. But then they made the World Series and things changed around and the politicians came on board.
The 1995 team saved baseball in Seattle. That was around the time that the Mariners were trying to get a new stadium because the Kingdom was, which is a stadium about as old as Olympic Stadium, had quickly gotten past its sell-by date, as the Big O has been for about 25 years. The Mariners sort of went on a run at the end of the season to make the playoffs for the first time, won a tiebreaker to win the American League West, which is back in the day when you had to win your division to get to the playoffs, beat the Yankees in an epic Game 5 of the division series, And that series saved baseball in Seattle, because after that, the state legislature managed to make it happen to get T-Mobile Park built. And so, yeah, and it's unfortunate that nothing sort of galvanized people in Montreal the same way that since...
A lot of people say, yeah, but they had Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah, but we had Vladimir as well. Timing is everything in sports, John.
It is. And yeah, had the 94 strike not happened, who knows? I mean, I'm actually very interested to see that Netflix series, Who Killed the Montreal Expos, that's coming out. And it's a documentary. I think it drops on Netflix next week.
Yep.
That'll be some interesting viewing.
Absolutely. All right. Talk to you at 5:30.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Of course, there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous, I'm falling. There's no escape, I can't wait. I need a hit, baby, give me it. You're dangerous, I'm loving it.
The Weekly News Review on The Friday Drive.
Kansas-based economic development expert Michel Retzier, right now. Good afternoon to you.
How you doing, Daniel?
I am doing just fine and dandy, thank you much. It's hard to believe that here we are already in mid-October. The snow is not too far away, but Michel, holy mackerel, this Mount Echo fire, a rare October blaze in Sutton.
Yeah, tell me about it. Wow, rare forest fire. That occurrence was a few days ago in Mount Echo near Sutton, as you said. It was a small blaze, though. It occurred somewhere in the upper part of the mountain, about 7 kilometers from the nearest residences. This lack of rain that we've been having for the last 2 months now facilitated the number of forest fires that are still going through the provinces. 7 other fires were declared last Thanksgiving weekend, bringing the October count to 75 across Quebec since the beginning of the month of October. Usually at this time of year, Daniel, there's no more than 15 of such human-caused incidents. Such a situation is happening as we are experiencing a never-seen dry spell for the last 2 months. Water levels are at their lowest. In the case of the St. Lawrence, it's been 13 years that we've not seen such low levels. In the Port of Montreal, the required level for container ship navigation is 11 meters, and now we're under 11 meters by 15 centimeters. This is causing serious harm to the volumes that are on these ships, either coming or going to the Great Lakes, going to the ocean. What has happened, or what will happen this week, is the Moses Saunders Dam in Cornwall will now be open for the next 36 hours, flushing the equivalent of about one Olympic pool of water every 2 seconds to help stranded boats in numerous marinas downstream around Lake Saint-Louis and further east. 160 climate scientists have reported that the Earth is reaching the first in a series of potentially irreversible climate tipping points, the widespread death of our coral reefs. So as we continue to burn fossil fuels, we're facing ever more severe heat, waves, floods, drought, and wildfires, all pushing our crucial systems so far out of balance that they may eventually collapse, and we're going to be seeing more ripples across the planet.
Seeing all sorts of things that we're not used to. I mean, those water bombers, Lake Brome, yeah. It's pretty impressive. And Sutton has run dry of water. They have to truck water in. It's nuts.
Nuts, absolutely. Yeah. There's some municipalities that are having their plants for clean water. They're having problems meeting the water requirements of their citizens. Like, everybody shrugs and says, well, okay, we're in this situation now, but I'm not sure it's going to get better.
I can't tell you the number of people that have said, well, the climate thing, I'll be dead when it's really a problem. That's not really a good strategy.
No, not really. Not for us, not for our kids, not for our little grandkids. Yeah. So,
all right.
There you are.
The Legault strategy, Michel, reset or panic. I mean, man, they could lose all 83 seats in the next provincial election.
Yeah, it seems like Mr. Legault is settling on a clear strategy as we move closer to this election campaign season. And here's the strategy. He's picking fights with a broad variety of groups in our society. He's already in conflict, right or wrong, with our doctors. He's announced in a recent speech kicking off the fall session that he would contain immigration, which is and will continue to impact farm labor and university budgets. He's fighting Islamic radicalism. Have you seen, Daniel, hordes of burqa-wearing Muslim women in our supermarkets and daycare centers? No.
Not a lot in Magog, nor Quaticook, for that matter.
Nor Quaticook, yeah. He wants to control our unions by weakening the well-established RAND formula, which, following a 1946 strike by Ford Motors workers in Windsor, the Supreme Court Justice Ivan Rand decided that all workers benefiting from a collective bargaining agreement shall pay union dues. Now, Legault wants to control what unions do with those funds, and now women's rights. Yeah, women's rights, Daniel. He's in this project of wanting to adopt a constitutional law, a constitution for Quebec. He wants to include women's rights to an abortion in that law, but it's already well protected by our legal system. Many groups now are protesting. Women's groups, lawyers, so forth and so on, are saying, look, we have the 1982 Canadian Charter of Rights, which is in the Canadian Constitution, which gives legal cover for women to do what they want with their body. Abortion is no longer criminalized in Canada since the Supreme Court decision of 1988. By doing this, adding that a woman's right to an abortion in this Quebec One bill, at its face, it's not a bad idea. But according, again, to many legal groups, this would open up a debate which we do not want to open up. This only to please as far far-right conservative base of the electorate, creating an opportunity for abortion opponents to try to restrict the access to such health services, and again, reopening challenges that might come for many, many years. So I'm not sure all of these fires that Legault is starting will mask his current dramatic weakness at the polls.
What, is he taking a page from the old MAGA playbook, or what do you think is going on?
It feels like that. When you listen to him, when you see what he wants to do and the justification of what he wants to do, you have the impression, wow, he's saying it in French. Listen to translation and we have the impression it's orange dictator down south that's speaking. It's unbelievable.
I don't get it. Anyway, the trade update. There's no deal. Now, Carney met with Trump. Tone's a little better, but no lightening of the situation on steel and aluminum and cars and all that stuff as well.
Softwood lumber and, and current situation right now, we still have 50% on steel and aluminum, 25 on automobile. Now it's 45 on softwood lumber, 25 on wood product. We do have a little bit of tariffs in place here. We have 25% on our side on steel and aluminum coming from the U.S. and 25 on anything that is not CUSMA compliant, that's the Canadian-U.S.-Mexico agreement, but only tied to the auto manufacturing. Trade Minister LeBlanc is still negotiating in D.C. He's now accompanied by Michael Sabia, the number one bureaucrat in Ottawa. A few days ago, Stellantis announced it was moving the projected manufacturing of Jeep Compass model that was destined to be built in Brampton, which that plant has been down now for at least 20 months, just to prepare the new product line. Now, Stellantis has backtracked and is now moving 3,000 jobs from Brampton to Illinois. And despite the promises that the company has made to the Ontario and federal government, luckily not a penny has come out because there were conditions to be met before the Ontario and the federal government started to support Stellantis in this new line. So here's the rub. At this point, does the Carney government take a hard turn and listen to what Premier Ford wants to do, and he wants to play it rough, or continue to negotiate and compromise? I think it's a damn if you do, damn if you don't situation in front of a president that is dedicated to weaken our economy. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes right now.
You're dealing with a man that you can't trust, that'll change his mind every single day. That's a tough deal. I'm just glad Poilievre is not involved in this.
I'm not sure that he has what it takes just to understand what's happening.
The Trump peace plan for Israel and Gaza, Michelle, fine, 20 hostages released, but countless innocent people dead, Gaza flattened. This ceasefire could have been reached months ago, and Trump still looking for that Nobel Peace Prize. Man. Mm.
It's not a peace plan, huh? By the way. It was a ceasefire with many conditions. I think you've seen, like everyone, there's groups fighting amongst themselves in Gaza. And the Israelis are hardening their position. They announced that they would not let as much aid go through. So, man, oh, man, what a mess. What a mess. Before Herr Trump gets a Nobel Peace Prize, I think there's been a lot of bridges to be crossed before we declare that there's peace in the Middle East.
Amen, brother. And it's all the information that you need right here on this segment, ladies and gentlemen. A new round of images of former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and singer Katy Perry went viral. Does this keep you from sleeping at night?
Yeah, because I thought I had something going with Katie last I saw her, but now I see she went for Justin, so a little insult on my part here.
Yeah, you know Katie's a full-time astronaut, you know.
Yeah. No, she's been up there, that's for sure.
Oh, she's always, and so is Justin, by the way. Townships-based economic development expert, Michel Retti, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Daniel. Cheers.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
I've been trying to call. I've been- me how to love. Maybe I'm going through a drought. You don't even have to do too much. You can turn me on with just a touch. Baby, I look around. Since it is cold and empty, no one's around to judge me. I can see clearly when you're gone. On our
time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
CIDI station manager Tony Mason right now reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Sir, I trust you are well.
I am, Daniel. You?
I am just fine. You wanted to report this week on a couple of programs on CIDI and some very interesting changes coming.
Yeah, things are starting to wind down a bit here at CIDI, so I get to catch my breath for a bit, kick back, build a couple of new broadcast computers, finish the programming schedule, you know, light stuff. Part of that with the programming schedule is that our great show, The Classical Music of the World, hosted by Karen Kataravik, is switching to a new one-hour format as of October 26th. So we will be following Karen's show with a brand new French language program created by our partners at the Sutton School of Art called Portrait Vivant. That will be on Wednesdays and Sundays from 10 to 11. That's Classical Music of the World, followed by Portrait Vivant from 11 till noon. Our dear friends Holly Bailey and Jim Ferrier have started their training with the government. We got a grant for the local journalism initiative, and they should be ready to take air with local news in November. We finished out this week with a successful broadcast of our live recording of the Meet the Candidates event we held at Théâtre Lac Brome on October 2nd. Many thanks to the mayoral candidates for their support of the initiative and for their participation, and a very big thank you to the Théâtre Lac Brome team.
Do you have any dates for the rebroadcast of that?
As we speak, it's already passed. We played it four times, twice on Tuesday of this week and twice on Thursday. So that's it.
And as if that weren't enough, I thought you said you'd be, you know, winding down, but that's clearly not the case, Tony. But you also have a lot of going on with the CRTC in way of your tower and other news pertaining to the station.
Yeah, we just completed a grant cycle by requesting some funding to help us decommission our current tower, to help fund our move towards rented space on a commercial tower. There's a lot of phases to this. It takes quite a bit of time. We're negotiating with Bell for the space, but it's our hope that once this is done, it's going to provide us with a much, much clearer broadcast signal, because the tower will be much higher in the air. And it will reduce our costs, because it's incredibly expensive to have your own tower, which is basically a giant lightning rod in the middle of the country.
Yeah. Already that transmitter change you did, was it 2 years ago? That brought clarity quite a lot to the station, where I can oftentimes pick it up in Magog, and certainly it comes in loud and clear if you're on the 10 driving towards Magog.
Yeah, our problem is there's still low spots that we get interference, because our tower is only 110 feet in the air. We're hoping with Bell, we'll be on one of their big towers, so we'll be between 3 and 450 feet in the air, which will remove the obstacles.
Yeah, only positives coming from CIDI, as far as I'm concerned.
We're working towards a better product for our listeners, to be able to serve the community much better, as is everyone at CJMQ. We continue with our community engagement. As I said last week, we started to organize our fourth annual Halloweeny barbecue. Our new and intrepid Virginie Barnes is working hard to get us some local sponsors. So we will ask all the listeners in the area to stop by on October 31st, make a donation, and get a hot dog. The small change is that all monies raised this year will go towards our Power the Tower fundraising campaign for 2026.
Community Radio. Radio Live and Well, CIDI on 99.1 FM, and check the website at CIDI991.com as well. Thank you, Tony. Have a good weekend.
You too, Daniel.
Township's weather, clear tonight, low minus 3. Tomorrow, sunny, high 14. Saturday night, cloudy periods, low 6. Sunday, sunshine, high 21. Long range, Monday, periods of rain and a high of 17. Just after 5 o'clock, it's Ed Humphrey with People and Places in the Townships. The 510 interview of the week. This week, it's Marie-Claude Bibeau. She's a candidate for the mayor's position in the municipal elections in early November. 5:30 sports, John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. Brenda Hartwell, the guest this week. All on the Friday Drive at CJMQ 88.9 FM, CIDI 99.1 FM.